Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up there this morning. Actually, I think it was technically this afternoon. So swing on by and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man.
All right, well, talking to your mic so we can hear you, or did your Bluetooth cut out?
Oh, no, I had the mic turned down.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, Tuesday, so it wasn't turned up. Ooh, bad.
That
was bad, wasn't it?
All right, well, I wanted to actually run a little wrestling by you and kind of get your idea on this. Now, you know, last week, WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment, released 18 more wrestlers. They've actually released a total of 70 wrestlers this year. But they made a couple other announcements, so to speak. I don't know if you'd call them announcements, but a couple other ways they're going to do business. One thing they're going to start doing to make the wrestlers look bigger is they will no longer hire referees that are taller than the wrestlers. And then the one I really wanted to get your opinion on, it also came out that they will no longer hire women wrestlers that are over the age of 25. Now, I thought this was kind of interesting, and I also kind of thought it was age discrimination. Do you see any issues with them coming out and saying this? Because, I mean, technically it's illegal to hold somebody's age against them when considering them for a job, right?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. And, you know, if they wanted to make the wrestlers look even bigger, they could always just shrink the ropes like they usually do, right?
Yes.
Lower them, you know, so that when the Big Show has to run the ropes, he has to, like, sit down to hit the top rope. No, I'm very surprised that they're coming out and saying that. You know, does this have any influence from Saudi Arabia?
Nothing about that. The only thing about they want two shows a year there.
Yeah, I'm just being a smartass with that because we know how things go over there. That's like one of those Comedy Central late talk shows that I don't watch, right? Joke, political joke, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Not surprised that they're allowed to get away with saying that. You know, they're not going to hire a woman over 25. So does that mean by the time you're 25, you're a female, you get fired on your 26th birthday, or you're going to be able to ride it out until you retire? Like May Young.
You know, it just apparently what the plan is they want to hire them under 25 years old so they can train them the WWE way. When you're signed, you literally are almost retrained because they more or less just want all their matches to look the same, which has never really made any sense to me, but that's what they do. So, you know, it's just their thing, and you have to learn their style and all that kind of BS that goes with it. The new thing as well is when you're signed to what is their NXT brand, you will only get a six-month deal, and they will basically, you get a six-month tryout is what it's going to end up being. And then they'll decide if they're going to keep you around. So there's going to be a lot of turnover in this Fed, and I'm not quite sure if that's good or not.
Well, you know, you said they hired upwards of 70 wrestlers, and I just didn't realize the roster was that large.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you've watched a WWE show, or if you do what I do and you just read the results or a recap or something afterward, you realize that it's really just the same wrestlers on the two main shows over and over. There's very few new guys coming in, and in basically almost every show, there's a guy or a tag team that ends up wrestling twice. So they don't really need as big a roster as they have because they don't use their guys.
Well, that's all for house show stuff, right?
Yeah, you basically, those people are just house show wrestlers, but, you know, they must obviously have people on the roster still to be able to, you know, to be able to do this without an issue because, yeah, it's been 70, somebody figured it out, it's been 70 wrestlers that have been released this year.
Wow. And all the ones that are still working there are all guys who started working there in the early 2000s. So,
yeah, and allegedly there were 10 more wrestlers that were almost released, so it won't be surprised if we get some more releases here before the end of the year.
I thought you were going to go the route of, you know, they failed wellness exams or, you know, some thing like that.
Yeah, no, they no longer even bother to do that now. They just basically let you go. And the majority of the time when a guy is let go, you get the, well, creative didn't have anything for him excuse.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you think it's been shaken up a whole lot more since they've gone public? Because, you know, once you go public, it's all about the profit. So as loyal as, you know, Vince could have been to any one man or woman in that roster, really doesn't matter what he thinks anymore.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are done so they can show a profit. When, you know, it comes time for that, you know, you get all these salaries off the books and you can be like, oh, yeah, hey, look, this is, you know, what we're doing or what we're making or, you know, whatever it is. So that's, you know, that's part of the reason they do this. Well, you know, I'm interested to see how this kind of plays out with, you know, hey, we're not hiring any women who are over 25 and see
women
out there that and, you know, retain a lawyer or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a class action lawsuit. But, you know, the one thing I could say, and, you know, is this why the other brands are becoming more popular and able to kind of survive? You know, I mean, when they started that AEW, I just thought we were going to see another flash in the pan and they'd be off air pretty quickly. You know, it was just basically like watching TNA NWA restarted again, you know, just in a different format. But, you know, with the fact that they keep releasing all this talent, aren't they just flooding the market and then actually promoting the longevity of the other products out there?
Yeah, it's, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, I mean, they've really, you know, released plenty of talent that has helped out, you know, AEW literally kind of established their footing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess when you know, like we went over, when you're looking to make, you know, your investments look good, you know, you're bottom line look good for your investors, I should say, these are things you got to do. You don't have much choice.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, football failed before he even got it off the ground, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly, I thought, you know, like I actually kind of thought the XFL was doing okay, but, you know, when they had to kind of stop doing everything, well, that just kind of killed it, so. You know, we'll see how it kind of ends up going, but I'm not, you know, I'm not just kind of more surprised than anything else with the way, you know, the way they just kind of cut ties and, you know, it's like, oh, okay, hey, here we go. We got, you know, one guy. All right. You know, you get to go and that's it.
I was going to say, you know, isn't this basically what you're saying, telling me is just more the reason why I hope to keep my son out of any involvement in pro wrestling, because I don't know, I feel like, you know, your generation prior were able to make a living off of it, and now it's just, you can get to the top, but you open the door the wrong way or squeeze someone's hand too hard when you shake their hand in the locker room, and now, you know, you're blackballed from wrestling. So, or, you know, you've got guys like Ric Flair who literally can't do anything else. You know, it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's so profitable and everything's great about the product, but when you look at it from the wrestler's end, you know, it's kind of a, it's still a carnival industry, wouldn't you say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely still, you know, one of the oddest businesses out there. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, how it goes. It's like, oh, hey, great. You know, here we go again. So,
I mean, I had fun. You know, nothing like me and your friend that pissed you off, you know, that weekend before, but you're still friends. But you're in the ring, and you know, you give him a nice gut punch, or you accidentally break your knuckle, punch him in the head. you know, there's nothing like it. But it just seems like in the end, the wrestlers are the ones who just kind of get the shaft in this whole thing at the end of the day, unless you're the number one guy.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, this, of course, you know, with all the releases and stuff that have been going on, this immediately brought up the idea that they need to form a union. Which I kind of doubt they're ever actually going to be able to get together.
Now, and Roddy Piper's in his grave going, you know, I told you. All pissed off.
Yeah, well, remember, you know, Jesse Ventura was the guy who was really bald.
Oh, I thought it was Roddy.
You know,
trying
to get that up and running and really, you know, just kind of like, hey, you know, let's go. But it you know, that's just one of those things that unfortunately is probably never, you know, just never going to happen.
No, because, you know, most unions, while they can be nationwide, like, you know, your organization that you're with, you know, it really has to start kind of at the state level, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, there's not, you know, not much you can really do without a, you know, some kind of building block. And I, you know, at this point in time, you know, WWE has so much power that it would just be difficult for any type of union to even get a foothold.
Mm-hmm. So, but I do have to say, when you brought up and you said you wanted to talk about wrestling, I thought maybe you had some insider knowledge that you were getting a bigger tax refund than normal, and you wanted to start your own wrestling fed this new year.
No, I would never in my life start fed. Even if I won the lottery, I wouldn't start fed. There's no way that's ever gonna happen. You know.
Not to beat a dead horse, but let's say you did win the lottery. You won enough to, you know, retire. You could do, you know, you had more than enough. You know, you won one of those big nationwide ones, 64 plus million or whatever, 600 million. You know, you could hire all the best. You could do whatever. Even with all that, how many shows do you think you'd last before you just got pissed off at everybody and just closed the doors?
Half of one.
Oh, that's because you decided to rent the ring from a special guy in Berwyn.
Yeah. So, no. You know, just, it's just, it's, I'm so that I don't want anything to do with it. You know, I mean, it was fun for a while, but now I'm over it, and I don't want to get that involved again to where, you know, I have to do all that work because it's hard work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, for anyone listening that doesn't know, we've both been involved with running independent wrestling feds. Big Jack, you had a lot more responsibility than I had in the one company, or I would say not so much responsibility, which, yeah, you did have. But you had more money involved in it. I just put money into it and watched other people put money into it and get paid back. I never got a cent back. But, you know, it was one of those things that was fun to do. But, man, you know, once I kind of stepped behind the curtain, so to speak, it just gave me a totally different perspective on the industry as a whole. Promoters and the wrestlers, and it took something that I really loved doing and made me absolutely hate it. So, you know, so it's unfortunate.
It's one thing to be a wrestler, it's another to be the owner.
Yeah. You know, and especially, and I don't know if it was any, you know, very the same regardless, but, you know, the era with Facebook and group messaging and group chats and all that, you know, I can't tell you how many guys that when I was running the shows, which I was actually just the ghost, I wasn't doing any of it, the owner was putting it up. You know, I was the Dave Roberts. You know, Davey Roberts. I was just handed the card and everyone thought I did it, and, you know, the amount of keyboard warriors and guys, oh, if I ran the Fed, this, all that crap.
Yeah.
I just learned to hate it. And it goes back to, I had a friend who played baseball, and he was fed all that stuff from his coaches, but he had the coach that played him, so to speak. And, you know, he didn't even end up getting the community college scholarship. So he turned around and he would tell me, oh, dude, I hate baseball. I can't watch it anymore. And he was good. He was really good. He had the build. You know, he was like that 6'3", 200-pound kid. And, you know, I would talk about baseball, and you could just see that sour face. And I never understood that until, you know, later on.
Yeah, you know, like for whatever reason, it's just like, I don't even have the desire to go to a show, and I still get bothered. Oh, you should come by. No, I don't want to sit through 3 hours of bad indie wrestling. You know, it's just, there's not enough talent out there to make it interesting for that long. You know, because like everything else, there's just too many feds. You know, anybody who thinks they deserve to make it and they don't starts their own wrestling federation. So,
yeah, or you give up opportunities, possible opportunities to make it to start a Fed.
You know, and the other thing, that these guys who think they're going to make it because they work for every Fed in Chicago, that's not getting your name out there. You actually have to get out and travel for people to know who you are. You can't just work in Chicago. But there are so many guys who have done that. You've seen it. You know, I mean, hell, we wrestled with a guy who worked for pretty much every Fed in Chicago and thought he was going to be a big star and has never made it out of Chicago and is still doing it.
Some of them, I don't even know there's...
Yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, good luck. You know what I mean? Is it worth it for the $20, the $30? I don't know. I don't think so.
No. Hey guys, I just spent $150 on a new singlet, $100 on some boots. Got my roller bag, and I got paid $10.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't even get enough to get gas and get somebody my way home.
Yep.
You know, not to mention that, you know, you have to basically get a gym membership so you can work out and actually look the part, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was why we two grumpy old men turn into right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would call guys out all the time. You know, I remember guys were able to do 10 push-ups, and, you know, they'd give me that, oh, you know, I'm just so big, and, I shouldn't have to. I'm like, dude, you should be able to lift yourself up. And, you know, all the money, this, money, that. I was like, I see you every Thursday at blah, blah, blah bar.
Yeah.
I go, hey, you know. That gym membership, $20 a month, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But you could spend, you know, $20-$50 every Thursday drinking at, you know, the bar and eating whatever, junk food. So, you know, I was never one of those who wanted to do the old Vern Gagne style training, but, you know, you had to keep up with it on your own outside of there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing. A lot of guys just either don't understand or they just don't want to, you know. But it's necessary, you know. I mean, you know, as fat as I was when I wrestled, I was still able to do the things I could do because I was strong enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's you know, not every guy is built for it. You know, a lot of guys just think, oh, okay, I can, you know, this guy can do it, I can do it. Yeah, it doesn't always work that way. So.
No, and, you know, the one thing, because you have obviously much more experience, it seemed like some of the older guys coming from your generation were definitely could work us, but we're a lot softer in the ring, so to speak, where, you know, I think just kind of the guys we trained with you, being in the indies and being so up close and personal to everybody, we didn't try to hurt the other guy, but we made it real, you know. and I found that was always a challenge with some of the guys, because you know, you're 2 feet from somebody. I can't fluff a punch to the face. I'm not going to break your jaw, but as we're giving away, you know, I guess it's not really giving away anything anymore, but, you know, did you find where that was different towards the Indies, where it seemed like it was a little bit more rough, where guys actually wanted to fight it out a little bit more than maybe someone working on the scene every single day and, you know, they're trained the WWE way, so to speak?
Not so much for me. You know, I didn't have too many issues with that kind of stuff. You know, the only thing I ever ran into is, you know, when you run into the guys who are just green and they get you by accident. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, hey, great. Thanks for just, you know, taking out my, you know, whatever, you know. I did have our friend who wrestled as the Butcher bust me open because he got a little stiff, and I had to kind of give it back to him to let him understand what the heck was going on there. So, but yeah, occasionally you do. You know, there are guys out there who will go out there and intentionally try to hurt people for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's just what they do.
We never intentionally tried to hurt anybody, but you felt it.
I never tried to hurt anybody at all, but if, you know, you got rough with me, I had no problem returning the favor. And, you know, I mean, I had people complain that I hit too hard anyways. So,
yeah.
It was, you know, you got to turn it up. I didn't have any problem turning it up. So,
well, you know, if you had that people complain about you, I learned from you. So I guess that's where it came from. You know, I never complained. Well, especially that time I got knocked out for a day,
yeah.
Clothesline, but it's what it is. But I do have one question for you, because, you know, you wrestled singles, I didn't. But, you know, as a tag team, and you had more partners than I did, and I don't know who you were more competitive with. And, you know, I found that with my cousin. When we tagged, there were times where, especially when we got into our groove, we got comfortable with, you know, who we were and how we handled things in the ring. And we knew, you know, each character, we both knew who that guy was. You know, we knew who we were. And it got to the point where sometimes, you know, it didn't matter who the opponent was on the other side of the ring. Yeah, of course, we're trying to beat those guys, get the pin in the middle of the ring. But he and I always had a small competition going on amongst each other, and it wasn't something that we planned or talked about, you know, prior to matches. It just kind of happened naturally. And one instance, you know, a good friend of ours, we've got him in the corner, and, you know, I don't remember where the match is at this point, but the heels are taking over, and, you know, we're giving him the heat, and myself or my cousin brings him over to the corner, and one of us gives him, you know, he's not on all fours, but he's kneeling down, hanging on the ropes in the corner, and one of us gives him a forearm to the back. So the other one gives him a forearm to the back. And, you know, we look at each other, and it's like we just kept trying to one-up each other. We did it so many times that after the match was over, you know, he came back to us, and he's like, what the hell were with those stomps? Dude, once. Were you telling me that when I was getting pummeled in the corner, you weren't kicking me? We're like, no, those were just forearms. And he's like, did I do something to you? He was so, like, he thought we were mad at him that, you know, he did something to us that, you know, we kind of put that on. And my cousin and I just started laughing, and we're like, you know, that's just one of those internal you know, competition things between us where we don't plan it. It just naturally happens, and the competition that was. But, you know, like I said, we were never trying to hurt anybody, but his forearm was tougher than mine, so then I had to bring him another notch. And I think we gave him almost 10 forearms to the back in the corner. So it was pretty comical, and I still think it's one of the funniest things we did. Just the reaction we got from another wrestler. When you were in your tag matches, was there anything internal going on like that between some of you and your tag partners?
Not so much to that effect. You know, like I had a regular tag partner for a long time by the name of Big Daddy Rack, and the team was actually just called Big, B-I-G, and we actually never – it was given to us, and nobody ever really knew what it meant, so that was kind of humorous. We had a lot of fun with that. But, yeah, we just did – and I don't know why he would do stuff like this, but he decided – that we always had to do a various high-flying move. So, like, we would do double drop kicks and stupid stuff like that, you know, like the Rock and Roll Express, just kind of for humor. And we were just literally a comedy team that was talented, even though he was much more talented than I was. I was just kind of along for the ride. But, yeah, it was just the thing we did. So, you know, and he was the longest-running regular tag partner I had. So, you know, but, yeah, we never really tried to one-up each other because we had different styles. You know, you and your cousin were at least, like, similar size and ability. You know, he was much better than I was. And I wasn't going to compete by then. I was, you know, in too long for that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew he was going to get the shot.
The one thing that my cousin did, and he knew it drove me nuts, we had our T-shirt. It just depended on the night. You know, we had our matching outfits, whatever we call them, costumes. You know, sometimes we'd wear a T-shirt with our, you know, tag team on it. I had the singlet. Sometimes I'd go shirtless. It just depended. But, you know, as I got in better shape, I tended to be shirtless. And, you know, as being heels, you know, you're never – the way you tag in and out, you know, we're always beating everyone down. So I'm dragging a guy back to the corner, you know, one way or another, you know, through the leg, by an arm, a headlock. I'm bringing him to the corner so I could tag my partner in. And it never failed. That I got the tag chop. So, you know, I mean, it's great for sound effects. You know, the referee and all the fans knew that I was being tagged out. But, you know, I ended up getting used to it after a while. But, you know, we'd always watch footage later on, and he would rewind that part like 10 times. You know, that's, of course, after drinking and whatever that night. He would rewind it 10 times to just get my reaction because I would just give him the dirtiest look after he did that every single time. So I don't know. I was curious because I've got to take a couple minute break to get my son real quick, but curious if you had any of those kind of things that happened to you or you did to other guys.
Yeah, no, you know, luckily we had the tag chops every now and then. And at one time I was teaming with, our friend Botch, and he stuck his foot out so I could tag myself in. And that was kind of funny. That was about the weirdest one I ever had to make. So, just kind of odd. But, yeah, you know, oddly, we went on about this much longer than I had anticipated we would. So it's kind of funny. I didn't think we would go this long into the podcast talking about wrestling. So that was kind of surprising, I guess I would say. But, you know, as always, you know, if you're interested in the product going on now, you know, tell me, you know, I'd love to know what you like about it. 646 478-3753 or email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. I can say that, you know, I don't watch entire shows anymore, but some of the AEW product I've seen, I do enjoy. And like I said, I'm more of just kind of, I'll end up reading the recap to see what goes on and, you know, just kind of end up kind of keeping up with it that way. But yeah, I don't really spend too much time watching it and anymore. It's just, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's just kind of past me now. Before, I mean, I wouldn't miss a show or anything like that. You know, I mean, I watched every wrestling show that I could find, but, you know, that was a different time for me when I was, you know, in the business and I wanted to know what was going on or I was looking for a new moveset or something like that. I'm just not that into it now. I still know people who are, and I don't mind, you know, talking to them about it. I work with a guy who asks me wrestling questions just about every day when I see him. You know, he asks me some kind of wrestling question. So it's like, hey, it's no big deal. But yeah, you know, just one of those things. I just don't have that type of interest in it anymore. But I know people who actually look down on other people for liking wrestling, and I'll never do that to anybody because, you know, it was something I was just nuts about for years, you know, and people made fun of me for liking it. And, you know, who knows why? It's just one of those things that's just kind of how people are. There's always somebody out there who's going to make fun of you for something. But, you know, it's like, hey, all right, let's see what's going on. And I do, you know, occasionally click over and I will, you know, click a bit here and there, but nothing. That there's two or three hours of a show anymore. I can't do that.
Well, I miss when it was just wrestling. Now, a three-hour show is, you know, 27 minutes of wrestling and 3 hours of skits.
Yeah, so we ended up going much longer on that than I thought. I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts were on picking up Craig Kimbrell's option. Were you surprised to see them do that? He had some struggles with them.
He had some struggles for them, but I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing for the White Sox. I mean, they're really good with pitching and, you know, maybe being able to work out with them to start the season and to play that full season and get them adjusted. The one thing I think they should get away from so much is identifying the closer and the setup man, because maybe that is a mental block on him. And to know that, I mean, let's be honest, in today's game, the bullpen gets used so much that how can you really have just one closer?
Yeah.
You know, because this isn't, you know, even 20 years ago where the closer would only come in, you know, the closer might pitch 3 or 4 days a week where, and you're going to have complete games where today, I mean, we don't see that. So it's almost like you need two closers, so to speak. So, I don't know if they'll go that route, but I think, I don't know, Big Jack, it's so hard because when you watch how much I guess I'll have to rewind and say, I thought there was no chance in hell, kind of going back to our last segment, no chance in hell, series, let alone lead it. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be Astros accidentally losing a game on their own and the Braves just not doing anything. And the White Sox pitching wasn't on when they hit the Houston. And, you know, I don't think their bat was on as much either. Houston just dominated. And I just felt like Houston should have just dominated the World Series the way they played through the playoffs. So watching the World Series, I'm like, you know, anything can happen in baseball, but it reaffirmed my belief that the White Sox can kind of take it to that next level and actually be a championship contending team. You know, maybe it was just a bad run for the, you know, the Astros, and they were sinking instead of, you know, on the uphill. But I mean, I think establishing that back end, and if the White Sox can sign one pitcher, I think they could be a pretty formidable force. And then, you know, a couple of positions we'll have to fill in. I don't think Cesar Hernandez worked out exactly that they wanted him to, but I'm sure there's, you know, some spots you could update and, you know, get some more mix in that bat. What did you think of it?
You know, I was a little surprised by it, but, I guess in today's market, $16 million is not a bad deal for a guy with what some of these players make. So,
yeah.
You know, and yeah, I like the idea of having that second. I mean, we've so many closers struggle that not a bad idea to have that other guy hanging around just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I mean, it lines up, you know, it lines up really nicely for them with, you know, Hendricks and Kimbrel, and then there's, you know, Aaron Bummer from the left side, and I'm going to guess Garrett Crochet will end up in the bullpen for another year. You know, he's a lefty. So they have, you know, they have four pretty good guys coming out of the pen right there. You know, I love to see them develop, you know, your guy Ronaldo Lopez, because I think he's got the stuff to be a really good reliever.
Yeah.
You just kind of wonder if they can ever develop him because he struggles. So, you know, I mean, they look pretty set. I keep hearing people say they, you know, obviously they need a second baseman, but I keep hearing everybody say they need to add an outfielder, and I don't understand why people think that, because, you know, they have Andrew Vaughn, who had a really solid rookie season for them, and boy, Gavin Sheets looked pretty good in his mm-hmm. time there. There's no reason those guys couldn't play, you know, play the outfield or DH or whatever to do with them. So I don't understand the outfield ad, but definitely they're going to have to come up with a second baseman somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are guys out there. So, it's just a matter of finding the right one and getting a good deal.
Yeah, and, you know, the nice thing is does Gavin Sheets moonlight at first base too?
Him and Vaughn, they're both originally first basemen. So, yeah, they could play there. Vaughn even played a little second last year. So, you know, I don't know if it's something they would want to do with him all the, you know, regularly or anything like that, but you know, he could fill in here and there without an issue.
And is Grandal coming back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still signed for season, so he'll be back.
And then they have Collins to back behind him. No, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I think Grandal, he's doing well, but I think they put a lot on him. I don't think he's a key or a savior for the team. But, I mean, you know, if they were to add somebody else, you know, who would you even try to add? But then would you want, you know, Vaughn, well, maybe not so much Vaughn, but Gavin Sheets full-time down in the, you know, in the minor league system? You know, that's the only positive, he's play every day, but it just seemed like he was pretty successful playing in the majors this season. So, I mean, because, you know, I'm kind of going through and I'm like, who the hell would you bring into that outfield?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. I think, you know, you have Sheets and Vaughn, and then you've got Adam Engel as your defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, and obviously, you know, you got Jimenez and Robert who are going to eat up two of the spots right there. I mean, so I don't understand that. I mean, unless you were bringing in the best outfielder on the market, but I don't know why they would do that. You know, especially with the needed second base they have. Because I think right now they'd have to play like Romy Gonzalez or they, you know, because your guy, Luis Garcia, is a free agent. So they'd have to, you know, I'm sure he'll be back. But, you know, I know he'd do well for them, but I don't know if he's playing every day at second base.
Yeah, it just kind of, well, at least it's not the White Sox saying it. They need an outfielder. I know that's media, but it just kind of scares me because, you know, I feel like a lot of guys are going to put more into Jock Peterson.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure you'll hear that. I did hear somebody say Castellanos should be their guy. But I just, you know, while that would be great, I just don't know how much sense that really makes for them to go out there and spend the money on him. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we both look at the outfield pretty confidently, and you know, if you're going to go and spend the money, I still think it should be at another pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, Dylan Cease just totally flaked in that postseason. That was not the kid that you know that we've seen pitch.
You know, you figure youth probably have something to do with that. So.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? I just think if they added one more arm, you know, maybe somebody that could be in front of Giolito, be the number one, or even at, you know, at that level, I don't know. I think they could be kind of, I don't want to say unstoppable, but I think they'd have a huge advantage in the Central. And
yeah.
It's still interesting, though, Big Jack, that, you know, the White Sox were so written off. And like you said, the Braves weren't. The Braves ended up winning the World Series. But their records were very close to the similar.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and then the other thing, I don't know how closely you've been following things, but, you know, I'm guessing if you're an Oakland A's fan out there listening to you and I do the podcast today, it's probably a pretty sad couple of days for you. I don't know if you heard their general manager came out and said that they are willing to trade everybody. Because they are in, as he put it, a familiar cycle where they need to cut payroll. And when I say everybody, Dan, I'm talking Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Sean Manaea, Chris Bassett, Frankie Montas, and I even heard Sean Murphy's name mentioned. Dude, how rough is it to be an A's fan right now?
Well, you know, piss them off, and then they won't fight to keep that team in Oakland Coliseum or whatever they call it these days.
But yeah, and you know, he mentioned, you know, obviously that they really need the new stadium or they can kind of jump in and sign these guys long-term like, you know, they would want to. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if a guy – you know, I mean, you would think teams would line up for guys like Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, wouldn't you? Even though Olson is a first baseman, I mean, obviously there's the designated hitter. So, yeah, you know, and I know Chapman had a down year, but he's a fantastic player, and Olson pretty much had a career year. So you would think, you know, they shouldn't have any problem moving the guys if they want to move them, right?
No, and that's just kind of crazy that they're willing to let go of everybody.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they put it together. You know, the A's always seem to manage to contend. I mean, you look at them and it's just kind of like, it's not going to be their year. And they hang around. I know last year they didn't quite hang around as well as they've had before, but they were still 10 games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like they were terrible. You know, you just, again, you know, you just got to kind of wonder how this goes for them. But yeah, it's, you know, kind of stinks when, you know, the smaller market teams have to go through this, and, you know, the larger just kind of get the done.
Well, you know, I get the whole they're a smaller market thing, but, you know, one of my friends who's a diehard Raiders fan, he and his dad have been to Oakland so many times, and, you know, the one thing they always said when they went to see the Raiders, like, oh, dude, that stadium's in, like, the worst place ever.
Yeah.
You know, do you think that plays into it?
Well, I'm sure. You know, I mean, you know, we know they don't draw. So, you know, I mean, the new stadium obviously would be a huge help to them. But, you know, for whatever reason, it can't get approved. I don't know if maybe they're asking for too much city money or government money that they don't want to fund it. But, yeah, I mean, they need some kind of plan. They need something to happen there for this team to be continuously successful. And, I mean, you know, they've kind of been the Tampa Bay Rays of the American League West, where they've always managed to contend with a low payroll. And they're going to have to figure it out again next year if they're going to do that. You know, otherwise, another walk for Houston, unless the Angels and the Rangers really spend money that they're saying they're going to spend, and Chris Bryant is willing to sign with the Mariners.
What?
Well, that's the big rumor, front runner like Chris Bryant. But I don't know. You know, with the Laker deal ending here on December 1st, do you see any of these big name free agents signing before that CBA is renegotiated?
Wait, say that again.
I said with the CBA ending on December 1st, do you see any of these big name free agents signing before that agreement is put in place?
Oh, no. I don't see any of that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just can't see anybody, any agent allowing his player to agree to a deal. No,
I think it would be crazy to sign anything unless, well, no, because, I mean, you know, in the last deal, things were changed for, you know, as far as accommodations, you know, when you're traveled. So I don't know if that would go into effect. You know, I don't know how much of the free agency type stuff would be into the CBA. And even if your contract didn't have it, I'm sure, you know, they would have provisions that if anything changes, it gets updated to what the CBA, or to reflect the CBA.
You know, and I guess if you're blown away by an offer and you get that $300 million deal you're looking for, then maybe you're signing, but, you know, the teams are in the same situation. They're not going to sign. You know, they're not going to sign anybody until
there's
an agreement at all. So.
Well, then I feel like a lot of the updates in the last CBA were more organizational. You know, as far as how many players. You know, I think expanding the roster by that one player on doubleheader day and. You know,
yeah.
Things like that. So, you know, the biggest one will be for the incoming rookies. You know, they won't get stuck with that. Well, hopefully they'll update it, but they shouldn't get stuck with that arbitration rule.
Yeah. if that rule comes out, and then you figure the university age is going to...
Yeah, I definitely, I don't know, like, just quit beating around the bush. They just need to get it done and over with.
Yeah.
That and, you know, you wonder if the luxury tax will be amended, you know, as if the rates will increase. And if any of those other rules that they...
What?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you think they'll raise the salary cap so teams can spend money?
I think so. I'm just wondering if they'll add in a minimum.
There has been talk of that.
You know, I mean, because if you think about it, if teams don't want to spend, you know, obviously that's on them and whatever, but you're never really going to get the fans behind you. You know, behind. And, you know, I think if we were living in Pittsburgh, yeah, we'd be Pirates fans, but what would we care about? I probably wouldn't even watch baseball if we lived in Pittsburgh. Well, I mean, I'd watch it, but you know what I mean. Yeah, that's true. But you know what I mean. You and I would be like Steelers heavy.
Yeah. Well, I would be because it's football, and, you know.
I have a Steelers hat.
Really?
Yeah, it's a cool one. But no, it'll be interesting. The thing that sucks the most, though, Big Jack, is we'll get the highlights from, you know, whoever is able to publish them. But the last CBA didn't come out until, like, June.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really want to do some digging, unless you've got some insight, you know, information, but I was annoying the hell out of the Players Association. Tony Clark. Like, dude, when's it going to be published? When's it going to be published?
Yeah, you know, we'll have to, just please tell me we're not getting a strike or a lockout or any of that thing, and the season's going to start on time.
No, I don't see us getting a lockout. And if there is, I think it might last past the new year. But I think everyone's going to report in February. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I kind of feel that way.
Yeah, because they've got to be smart enough to realize that they would lose the fans if they did the strike or the lockout. They're that smart, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that and especially, I think they would want to avoid it big time. Plus, I think with the fact that MLB is toying around with the idea of the MLB app no longer having blackouts, you know, that completely changes the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially for me, you know, once NBC hit the Olympics, they updated their app on the TV, and it was only Olympics. I lost the White Sox game, and from that point on, unless they were on ESPN, I was not able to watch the White Sox. You know, and I had to use my dad's login for the Cubs, and he canceled cable. So.
Oh, wow.
Well,
but I'm back at 5 o'clock with Donald Trump on Friday. Which time is it here? Father Gumby, you know what you're doing. You're going to move to sportstimeradio.com. Click the blog out to run up to the end. While you're there, follow the link. You're going to go to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You can go to Wi-Fi. You're over there. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed and sources at Time Radio. Get on there and Twitter as well if you'd like to make a call. That'd be cool for us. If you come down with this model, thank you for doing all this. All you got to do is head over to tuesday.com. www.twinspines.com, and you can listen anytime you want.
Roll out.
Roll out.
Roll out.